You would turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking at a passage here at the start of our lesson this morning. This morning what we're talking about are what we might term spiritual disciplines. And if you look at what or look up information about what people have said these are, you might find a list of things that people have put together about what certain disciplines we are to be engaged in or we are to practice in our spiritual lives. I'm not going off of any list that someone has put together. I'm going off of what I believe are some practices that we need to implement that are going to help our spiritual well-being. We often talk about developing good habits, or people talk about that a lot, about how we need to have good habits as far as our diet and our exercise. People might want to develop a reading habit, or all sorts of different things can be turned into a habit. And sometimes habits can be helpful when they are good habits because it allows us to do what is good without really having to put much thought into it. We don't have to decide, am I going to eat this or not eat this, because we've already made a habit. Well, this is what we eat. This is what our diet is, or if we're going to exercise a certain number of days a week, that we don't have to wake up in the morning and decide, am I going to do this? We've already made the decision. It's a habit. It's just what we do. And it makes it almost automatic. Not quite. We still could choose not to do something. We could still choose to eat a bunch of junk food, or we could choose not to exercise the way that we normally do, but it does make it easier to do what's right when we make it a habit. Well, what we're talking about here is not habits as far as our exercise or our physical health, but our spiritual health. And Paul talked about these things here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, where he says, "Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women, but on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers." When we think about our spiritual lives and our spiritual well-being, there are certain practices that can help us grow to spiritual maturity. But in order to be effective, we need to be intentional about what we're doing. And we need to put in the effort to actually do the things that we're going to be talking about here today. And what we're talking about here, what we're terming spiritual disciplines, these practices that we can do to help our spiritual health, that are to be regular practices and things that we almost turn into a habit. Each of the things that we're talking about here this morning are things that each one of us are able to do. Each one of us, the things that we're going to be discussing, each one of us can do these things. But no one can do these things for us. We are responsible to take care of these things and to practice these things and put in the effort and make these practices a habit or a regular part of our spiritual lives. The regular discipline that we put in, effort that we put into these disciplines, this is for each one of us to do. So all of these things that help in our spiritual development, these are regular practices, not things that we do periodically, that every once in a while, and then we neglect it for a long period of time, then we'll come back to it again. These are regular practices, things that we turn into habits that help our spiritual development, our spiritual well-being. These are things that we can all do. Every one of us here can do these things. But no one is able to do them for us. We are responsible to do them. So what are we talking about? What are these spiritual disciplines that we are to put into practice regularly in our lives? Well, the first one is Bible study. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, is one of these disciplines that we are to have is that we are to study the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Timothy was responsible to do this. Paul couldn't do that for him. Paul couldn't say, well, you need to do this, and or if someone else is going to do this, well, you can just, you know, basically learn from them and that's going to be enough. No, he said, you are to do this. When he went to Berea in Acts chapter 17, we've studied this in our Bible class on Sunday morning. Why were the Bereans called noble-minded? It's because when Paul came to them and preached to them, they were searching the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. This was a regular practice or a regular habit for them. Why is this so important? Why does this help in our spiritual life, in our spiritual well-being, our spiritual development? We think about Bible study, that back in that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that you are diligent to learn how to accurately handle the word of truth. Some translations actually use the word study there. But whether your translation has the word study or not, that's the idea behind this. You're learning to accurately handle the word of truth. That requires diligence. It requires study. Well, you're doing this so that you can present yourself to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. When we are studying the scriptures, we are learning how to please God. The next chapter over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We know how to please God by looking to His Word and seeing what His Word teaches us. That is the only way we can know this. And so we have to take it upon ourselves that we are going to do this. We are going to learn and study for ourselves. The Bereans, they made sure. They didn't just say, well, Paul's saying this, so I'm going to believe it. They went to the Scriptures. And they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Timothy, you be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. You do this for yourself. And we often point out, I try to make this comment fairly regularly, that if I am up here preaching, or if anyone else is up here preaching, but when you're hearing me present a lesson, don't take my word for it. Don't just assume that, well, Andy said this, so that must be right. I hope I'm right. I'm trying to be right. But don't just assume that it's right because I said it. We have a responsibility for ourselves to make sure that we know what is true, and that takes regular study. It is a daily thing that if we're going to hear, the Bereans heard Paul preach, and they said, well, we're going to follow up, and every day we're going to check that. You can hear me preach on Sunday, but you can go throughout the rest of the week and go over the things that we talk about, or learn about other things, and look at the Word of God, study the Word of God. How do we make this a regular habit? If this is a spiritual discipline, something that we put in the effort as a regular practice, how do we do that? Well, we need to follow a regular schedule. Now, some people might have a reading schedule that takes them, say, through the Bible in a year. That's fine. You can do that if that helps you do that. But whatever you do, whether you're following a schedule or not, make sure you have a regular practice. Maybe you read a chapter a day or two chapters a day, or you're going to read for a certain amount of time each day. Make time to do that. You have a Bible at home. Keep your Bible handy. Don't put it up where you can't get to it. Make it handy where you can access it, and it's easy to get down off the shelf or pick up off the table and read from it and study from it. Sometimes it's helpful to take notes when you are reading something. Say you're reading through... My Bible right now is open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're reading through 2 Timothy chapter 2, take notes about what the chapter is about. Or if you have questions about, well, I don't understand what this verse means, write it down. And maybe you get further in the chapter, then that question you had is going to make sense. Or maybe you get to the next chapter and it helps answer what you didn't understand in the chapter before. Write those things down, because that is going to help develop this regular practice where you are learning the Word of God. This is a regular practice for us, but it's something that we have to do ourselves. Another thing that is a regular practice that we are to engage in is the practice of prayer. The scripture reading that was read for us talked about devoting ourselves to prayer. Paul told the brethren in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 that we are to pray without ceasing. In Philippians chapter 4, as Paul was writing to the brethren there at Philippi, he talked about how this is to be a regular practice, a regular habit, that we pray without ceasing, as he told the brethren in Thessalonica, not in the sense that we are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or any time that we are awake, we are in prayer to God. That's not what he means here. He says, you are praying to God at regular times, consistently. You're not neglecting prayer. And the reason why we do this, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you have things that you are concerned about, that you are anxious about, and things that you are worried about? Everyone has things like that. No one's life is perfect. No one has everything in order that, well, we just don't have to concern ourselves with anything, because everything is just the way that we expect it to be, and everything is right and everything is good. No one's life is like that. So he says that you be anxious for nothing. You have concerns in your life, so what do? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Take those things to God in prayer. Do it with an attitude of thanksgiving, recognizing all that God has done for you. But this is to be a regular practice, something that we do without ceasing, that we are devoted to, as Colossians 4 and verse 2 said. Well, what's the benefit of this? It says in verse 7 here, Philippians 4, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Through prayer, our thoughts are molded to be more in line with God and His will and what His will is for us. Our situation may or may not change, but our attitude toward our situation, that should change. It should be affected by that, where we are not anxious as we were, even if we are still facing the same situations, because the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and our minds. Well, if this is to be a regular practice, how do we make that a regular practice? What do we do? We may have certain times a day that every time that this happens, maybe we sit down for a meal, or every time I wake up in the morning, every time I go to bed at night, or whatever it is, we have regular times we're going to sit down and we're going to pray. And that's what we do. Or personally, in our own personal lives, that is what we do. That's a good practice. That's a good way to do this. But another thing that we do, or another thing that we can do, is that we can pray at a moment's notice. That we don't have to have a certain time, a certain place to pray in order to approach God in prayer. We can pray at any time. We can pray that when we're driving in the car. We can pray when we are cooking dinner. We can pray when we're doing any number of things. We can approach God and make our requests known to Him. Thank Him for the things that He has done. We can, and partially we do this when our announcements, we keep a list of things of people who are in need of prayers. We can do that personally, where we can keep a list, and our list likely will be longer than what we announce here on Sundays of the ones that congregation may be praying for, because there may be people that we know of that the other ones here don't know. But we know that they are in need of prayers, or we may have certain situations, things that we're worried about, or things that we are thinking about, or decisions that we have to make. Whether you keep a list written down or you just keep it in your head, you can remember these things, pray about those things, because when you have something to pray for, you're more likely to actually pray than just think, well, I have to do this, but I don't know what to pray for, so you just skip it. Make this a regular practice or a regular habit. Related to that is the practice of meditation. If you look over in Psalm 119, this is something that maybe we don't think about, but I think is the scriptures do talk about it, and I believe it's helpful to us more than maybe we realize. But this idea of meditation, about thinking on certain things. That there are times where we are have the Bible open in front of us and we are studying from the Scriptures. We're reading it, we're studying it, we're learning it. But then there are other times where we are processing that or thinking about that or rolling that over in our heads. That the things that we have studied previously, now we're reflecting on that. Psalm 119, verse 97. The psalmist said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." That is what he thought about. He reflected on the law of God, on the word of God, on what it taught. Paul talked about this in Philippians 4, verse 8, where the things that are true and right and good, he says, you think on these things. Yes, we read about them. Yes, we put them into practice. But he said also, you think on these things. Reflect on them. And why is this so important? Well, you look at Psalm 119, verse 97, the psalmist said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." What good did that do him? What was the benefit from that? Well, if you look at the verses right after that, verse 98, "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have obeyed your precepts." How was he able to progress so much in his knowledge and understanding of the Word of God? He would obviously read the Word of God. He had people teaching him the Word of God. He was putting it into practice. He says, "I've observed your precepts." But how was he able to gain more insight than his teachers? Verse 99 says, "Your testimonies are my meditation." When we take time to think about the things that we've studied, and we talked about or mentioned one of the things we could do when we're studying the Bible is that we can, you know, take notes and write down things that jump out at us, or maybe things that we don't quite understand, we have questions about, we write those things down. When we meditate on the Scriptures, one of the things we can do is be thinking about those things that we wrote down and rolling those around in our head and trying to understand what those things mean and how they apply and how they fit together with other parts of the Scriptures. Others can impart information to us. And the psalmist says here, "I have these teachers who are helping me, who are imparting knowledge to me." Others can do that, but no one can process that for us. No one can put it ingrained in our mind. We have to work to do that. We have to think about these things, because we can listen, we can sit through a sermon, we can read through a chapter in the Bible and not really pay attention to it, and we read it or we listen to it, and then it's gone. We don't think about it again. If we want to retain it, if we want to keep it in our minds and keep it written on our hearts, that's going to require us thinking about it more than just the times where we have a Bible open in front of us. Meditate on the Scriptures. This is a regular practice that we are to have, where we have time where we're not distracted, we're not have other things that we're trying to do, but we're thinking about the Word of God. In the age that we live in, with all the distractions that we have, this is harder to do. But it is incredibly beneficial if we can make time to do this. Another practice that needs to be a regular practice for us is that of assembling. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the expectation that we have of assembling with the saints. It says in verse 25, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, there are times, obviously, where we cannot assemble because of health reasons or other things like that. We simply cannot assemble. And we understand that. God understands that. But what this is talking about here is that our regular practice, what we are going to be doing, what we are planning to do, is that we are going to assemble. Maybe one week we can't, or maybe for a period of time we can't because of health reasons, but our regular practice is that we are going to assemble. We are going to be there when the church is meeting. When Paul gave the church at Corinth instructions about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he talked about, or reminded them of what the Lord had instructed regarding the Lord's Supper about taking the bread and taking of the cup and what they represented, his body and his blood, that you do this. He said that in verse 33, when you come together to eat, when you come together to observe the Lord's Supper, he said, wait for one another. That implies that there is an expectation that we are going to come together and that we can expect our brethren to be there as well. This is to be a regular practice or a regular habit for us. Well, how do we make that a regular habit? Well, we need to plan ahead, and when the church meets, that's what I'm going to do. That this is a regular thing. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to be there. I have planned ahead. My schedule is clear. I have clothes ready. I have my Bible lesson done. I have all this done. I'm ready to go to the worship services when the church meets. I'm ready for that. We decide ahead of time. That's what we're going to do. And a couple months ago, maybe, and I've come across this a couple times, but I stumbled across a picture on, or an image that was shared on Facebook. And I tried to find it again for this lesson, but I wasn't able to find it. But it was a quote from a preacher, and I don't remember who the preacher was, one who's passed on now. But it was something to the effect of that he did not decide on Sunday morning that he was going to go to worship services. He would never decide on Sunday morning to go to worship services. Because he said, when I obeyed the gospel 40 years ago, whenever it was, when I obeyed the gospel, that's when I made the decision that I'm going to be there on Sunday morning. And he didn't have to make the decision every week after that. That's what we need to, the practice that we need to do, that this is our decision that we make. The church is meeting. I'm going to be there unless I simply cannot be there. But the church is meeting. I am going to be there because that's the commitment that I made. This is a regular practice. And the benefit that we get in verse 25 of Hebrews 10 that we read, well, going back to the verse before that, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. We gain encouragement. We are stimulating or provoking one another to love and good deeds, that we are helping one another to keep doing what we need to be doing, to keep being faithful, to keep serving the Lord. This is what we do while we're here. Yes, we're worshiping God, but we're also here to encourage one another and to help one another and to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's why we're here. This is why it helps in our spiritual development. It's not just about, well, we're here to worship God. That's true. We are. We want to worship God in spirit and in truth and glorify Him in all that we do. But this also helps develop us spiritually and helps us to grow spiritually. Then the final point I want to notice this morning, a regular practice that we are to have, and maybe a broad category, but living holy lives. This needs to be a regular practice or a regular habit for us. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talked about what we need to be doing as far as our daily lives and how we conduct ourselves. He said, therefore, prepare your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Make sure that you are living as the way in the way that God wants you to live. Be holy as He is holy. You're to be as obedient children. This is a regular practice. How often is God holy? Well, that's a silly question. He's holy all of the time. Well, that's what we are to strive for. Not to live as a Christian and we're going to come and we're going to assemble and we're going to worship God, we're going to do all of that. And then, you know, maybe when I see other people that I worship with, and I'll try to be good around them, but then the rest of the time I'm just not going to worry about that too much. No, you are to be holy as God is holy. That's not just calling you up to a certain standard. But this is, your entire life is like this. Not just some of the time, but all of the time, because that's who God is. God is consistent. God does not change. This is how we are to be. And if you look over in a little bit later, 1 John chapter 1. Why is this important? Why is this practice of living holy lives, how does that help us spiritually? Well, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, John says, "We have seen and heard and proclaimed to you also, that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." He's talking about we can have fellowship with God. Well, how do we have fellowship with Him? Verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." We have fellowship with the others who are walking in this way, but also we have fellowship with God. The blood of Christ cleanses us from sin if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Why do we live holy lives? Because we want to be in fellowship with God. We want to enjoy His good favor. We want to stand justified before Him. So this is our own personal responsibilities. All these things we've talked about. No one can do these other things for us. No one can live holy lives for us. We have to do that ourselves. Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 how we present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. We are giving our lives over to Him. No one can do that for us. They have their own life to give to the Lord. They can't do that for us. We have to do this for ourselves. We make ourselves, or we live our lives in such a way that we are holy before God. We are, as Peter said in that verse we read, we are as obedient children. We're not conformed to our former lusts. We are not living as we did before. We've given up sin. We've turned away from that. We are now living as the Lord wants us to live. That means that as we are putting this into practice and making this a regular habit, that we are looking for opportunities to do good. That if we see someone that needs help, that we're going to do it. If we see some good thing that we can do, we're going to be in the habit of doing that. We're going to look for the way of escape when we're tempted. And not think, well, I don't know what to do in this situation, just get swept up in the temptation and end up doing what everyone else is doing. Look for that way of escape. Be comfortable being different from other people. That passage that we mentioned, we didn't turn over there, but in Romans chapter 12, that talks about presenting ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice to God. That's what we're responsible to do. But then the next verse, it tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We're going to stand out. We're going to be different from the world, and we need to be comfortable being different. That the world is not going to understand a lot of times why we live the way that we do, why we make the decisions that we make. We need to be comfortable being different because we are trying to be like Christ. We are trying to follow His example. We are trying to be holy as God is holy. This is something that we have to practice every day of our lives as a regular habit or a regular thing that we do, a regular discipline, that as we live in a way that is pleasing to God, it's going to help us grow in Him. We enjoy fellowship with Him, but we grow stronger and we are more like Christ and less like the world, which makes it easier to keep doing what we've been doing. All of these things that we've talked about here are things that we do in our everyday lives to help us in our spiritual development. Well, going back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, in that passage we read, he said in verse 7 that you are to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Why did we talk about these things that we talked about? About studying the Bible, about praying to God, about meditating on His Word, about assembling with the saints and living holy lives. Because all of that is part of godliness. Living in reverence and fear of God, trying to be like Him. And we are to be intentional about doing this. says you discipline yourself for this. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be a convenient thing to do. But we are willing to do that. We are willing to put in the effort. We are intentional about it. And in verse 10, he said, it is for this we labor and strive. That we put in the effort, that we are going to do these things. If we will do them, it will benefit us immensely. Not necessarily in this life alone. It says, godliness, verse 8, is profitable for all things. It holds promise for this present life and also for life to come. There are benefits in our life here by doing the things that we talked about today. But even more, it is beneficial in our spiritual lives and our eternal well-being. The reward, it says, is in the life to come, in the present life and also the life to come. But as we mentioned at the beginning, no one can do any of these things for us. We have to make the decision. This is what we are going to do. This is how we are going to live. These are the practices that we are going to put in place. And we need to be intentional about doing those things so that we cannot neglect them, but instead grow stronger in the Lord. But as we close the lesson and extend the invitation, we want to invite anyone who is not yet a Christian to become one. We talked this morning really about what a Christian is to do. But maybe you're here and not yet a Christian and need to become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you could be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and become a Christian, but you haven't lived as you should, maybe some of the things we've talked about, you've been neglecting those things, or maybe there's some other sin in your life that you realize that you need to make some changes, you need to fix that in your life, then repent of that and pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.